Hi, this is Jim Sumner, the Vice President for Enrollment at Willamette University, and welcome to our fifth and final phonecast in this annual admission cycle. And we're very glad to have you join us. We appreciate the fact that you've been admitted to Willamette. Congratulations to you in that regard. We also understand that May 1st, the day after tomorrow, is the National Candidates Reply Date. And so if you have not decided where you're going to go to college in the fall, you do need to decide by May 1st. And let me remind you right now, for those of you that have not participated in the past, anytime you want to ask a question, just push 0 on your telephone, and you will be able to ask that question. And you will not be interrupting any of our panelists while you are asking that question. So even if one of us is talking and you want to ask a question, push 0 on your telephone and ask that question. The topic tonight, as you may recall, are the professional and joint degrees that one can do at Willamette University. One of the things that is unusual about Willamette is that we are a top liberal arts college, but we do have these excellent professional graduate schools, and we do work closely with them, unlike a lot of places. All four of the schools at Willamette are located on the same campus. So we've got the Graduate School of Education, we've got the Atkinson Graduate School of Management, we've got the College of Law, and we have the Undergraduate College of Liberal Arts, to which you've been admitted. The first thing I'm going to do is go around the room and have our panelists introduce themselves, tell you their name, tell you how long they've been at Willamette, tell you what their job at Willamette is, and maybe provide you with a very brief introduction to their particular program. And we're going to start with Heather Daniels.
Hi, this is Heather Daniels, and I'm from the Graduate School of Education here at Willamette University. I've been at Willamette for about 10 years. I've worked in the School of Education for the last 5 years, and prior to that worked right here in the Undergraduate Office of Admission. The Graduate School of Education offers master's programs for those interested in becoming a teacher, and then also adding on endorsements for licensed teachers in areas of special education and ESL. Oh, well. And now I'll turn it over to Judy.
My name is Judy O'Neill, and I'm the Associate Dean and Director of Admission of Willamette University's Atkinson Graduate School of Management. I've been with the Willamette MBA programs for 23 years, and our programs are designed to help students get knowledge and work experience and the career management tools they need for professional-level careers. And we have a great program that's a BA MBA or a 3-2 program where students who go to Willamette University's College of Liberal Arts can start the MBA program in their senior year. And then we also have students who graduate from college first and then come to the MBA program. So I will turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you, Judy. For the first time since we started our phone casts, we don't have a good connection for Judy, so we're going to have her switch locations and try to bring some clarity when she next has a chance to speak. I want you to meet our final two panelists right now.
Hi, my name is Rick Watkins, and I'm the chair of the physics department here. I've been here about 13 years, and I teach all sorts of physics classes. We offer both a physics degree and a four-year physics degree, and as well, we also offer a 3-2 program where you can do 3 years at Willamette and then do 2 years at a school of engineering and end up with both a Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Science in engineering.
Thank you very much. And before we meet our final panelists, oh, were you going to say something else, Rick? No. Before we meet our last finalists, let me just remember you participants that if you want to ask a question, just push 0 on your telephone and you'll be able to ask that question, and then one of our panelists will be able to answer it for you.
And I am Brian Miller. I'm the Associate Director of Admissions at the College of Law. I've been at Willamette for 8 years. Long before that, I was a practicing attorney. I'm now involved with the admissions and advising process for our JD, LLM, international, transfer visiting, and exchange students.
Thank you very much, Brian. And that might be a good spot for you to describe the 3-3 program, because it is unusual, if not unique, and help our participants understand how the 3-3 program works for those who are thinking about studying law.
Sure, Jim. Basically, a 3-3 program is also known as a BAJD, or Accelerated Degree Program. And the basic idea is that you would be starting your first 3 years in college at the College of Liberal Arts, the undergraduate school. At that point, you'd be taking care of all of your general education requirements, and you'd be taking all of the work that you need for your major in terms of the prerequisite courses and the required courses. You would leave out your electives, because in the fourth year of school, you would be transitioning over to the law school, and in your first year of law school, the classes that you take there will satisfy your electives and would then complete your Bachelor of Arts degree. Now, you'd have 2 years left to complete your law degree, and you'd be finished with your BA and your JD in 6 years instead of seven. There are certain requirements that you need to meet by way of grade point average and LSAT score to be eligible to continue in the program, but we feel that any Willamette student, anyone who's admitted to the CLA, has the capability of accomplishing that.
And Brian used the term LSAT. That's the Law School Admission Test, and that is the nationally standardized admission tests that pre-law students take in order to gain admission to law schools. And continuing on with some of the descriptive themes, I'm going to ask Heather if she can describe the exact programs that the School of Education has where they offer graduate study.
Sure. The Graduate School of Education offers two master's programs. The Master of Arts in Teaching is a licensure program, which gives students the opportunity to earn an initial teaching license here in Oregon, as well as a master's degree from Willamette University. An advantage of getting licensed in Oregon is that Oregon has one of the highest standards for teacher education programs across the country, so it makes transferring a license to another state very easy. The MAT program is offered in a couple of different formats, but it's really great for someone coming straight out of an undergraduate program, just like Willamette. It's a 10-month program, so in 10 months, the students can earn their initial teaching license and a master's degree and get authorized to teach anywhere from early childhood, elementary, middle school, to high school. And then in addition to the Master of Arts in Teaching degree program, we also offer a Master of Education, which is available for either licensed teachers or someone who's interested in going into education but maybe not as a licensed teacher but want to work in some form of education as a teacher within a museum or a zoo or something like that. So it's a pretty broad self-designed master's program for someone interested in education.
Thank you very much. And I mentioned earlier when we started our panel that not all of us were able to clearly hear Judy O'Neill from the Atkinson Graduate School of Management. So I'm going to circle back to her and ask her to particularly describe the 3-2 program that she referred to earlier.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, the Willamette BA MBA program, or commonly called a 3-2 program, is a program where students accelerate completion of their undergrad degree and enter the MBA program in their senior year at Willamette. And then in just that year and one more year, you graduate with both your Bachelor of Arts degree and your MBA degree. So it's a total of 5 years, and you save an entire year of education. Now, our MBA program is specifically designed to help you get the work experience you need, plus the knowledge to get your career started. So we do a lot of internships. We do a lot of projects with real clients, and you have a chance to learn all of the functions of an organization, from finance to accounting to marketing to human resources. You can start your own business through entrepreneurship, and we do business, government, and not-for-profit management. So you have many, many opportunities in the BA MBA program.
Well, thank you, Judy. And it is a chance for me to remind people that because Willamette is a traditional arts and sciences college, we do not offer an undergraduate degree in business. At the same time, we understand that lots of great liberal arts students want careers in business, and so this is a really wonderful way to prepare oneself for a career in business, but also get a great arts and sciences, a traditional liberal arts education. Any other comments from any of the panelists? Rick, anything you wanted to add? I think we it does remind me, Rick, I meant to ask you earlier. You were talking about the 3-2 program in engineering. Did you mention the 4-2 engineering as well, or is that worth mentioning?
The 4-2 is just like the 3-2, except you actually stay at Willamette for 4 years, and you get your Bachelor of Arts at the end of that 4 years, and then you go on to the graduate school, and you stay to the engineering school, and then you stay 2 years, and you get a bachelor's. There's also a version in which you would get a master's after that. Now, you might wonder why you need two bachelors, but it's because the Bachelor of Science that an engineer has is actually a professional degree. So in that sense, this is sort of similar to the 3-2 business program, where you want to get that general liberal arts education, but you also need that professional degree to practice as in certain types of engineering.
And I saw with one Willamette graduate, I saw an interesting wrinkle where he did the 4-2 engineering with Columbia University in the Ivy League, and then while he was there, decided to stay one additional year and did an MBA. So in the 7 years, he had the BA from Willamette. He was a math physics double major. Then he had, in his case, an MS, or an MSc, I guess, Master of Science in Engineering, and an MBA. So it sounds like there's a variety of ways this can be tailored. The other thing I noticed, and one of our young graduates mentioned this to me, was that when it came to the end of his third year, even though he had been admitted to a good engineering school, he simply wasn't ready to leave Willamette. There were too many things here, too many friends, peers, and so forth. So he stayed for his fourth year and then went off to do the engineering degree. In his case, did a second bachelor's degree as well. The other thing I wanted to mention to the students who are participating tonight, since we are getting close to May 1 and the candidate's deadline, it's not essential that you restrict your questions just to our professional and joint degree programs. If you have other questions that are concerning you, don't hesitate to push 0 on your phone and ask those questions as well. One of the things that we touched on was the LSAT that's required for all students who plan to apply to colleges of law, and there are similar testing requirements for other schools. But one of the things that maybe one of our panelists can comment on, and this is a risky proposition on my part because I don't know if they can or not, but I'm wondering if Willamette offers any guidance or preparation for students who are preparing to take the LSAT or the GMAT, the Graduate Management Admission Test, those other tests that are required to apply to professional schools. And Brian, is there anything that you know anything about? It looks like Brian's saying yes, right?
Well, we don't offer any programs or any course that a student would take in order to prepare for the LSAT, but what we do is get the student involved through a combination of pre-admission advising through the law school and also through the pre-law club to practice taking the LSAT and also to have an idea and an understanding of what kind of courses that they could be taking as an undergraduate, even at the same time that they're completing their 3+3, if that's the direction they're headed, or just through the traditional BA and then coming in for the JD, so that they have the understanding, the training, and the practice in thinking logically, linearly, analytically, critically, and also so that they have a good idea through the logic class that we offer here how to prepare for the LSAT. I understand that our philosophy faculty do a wonderful job of helping those who have identified themselves as going into law school to prepare for the LSAT through the logic class. So there's a lot that we do offer, but it isn't in a specific like commercial prep type of class.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thanks very much. I don't know if anybody else wants to comment on the testing that's required, but I'm not seeing anybody waving their hands. Yes, Go ahead, Judy.
Right. For the MBA, there are two possible tests that you would take. So you could take one or the other. One is called the GMAT, which is the Graduate Admissions Management Test, and the other is called the General GRE, which is the Graduate Record Exam. And you can take either one of those tests for our MBA program, and you would take them generally in your junior year in college. We offer, we bring Kaplan in a couple times a year, and Kaplan is an international test prep program. We bring them in for a three-hour seminar to give people an idea of the basics for taking both the GMAT or the GRE. In addition to that, both of these tests are computer-based tests, so there are many things online, many review options online that are free and some that you pay for. But there's many, many resources around to help you prepare for either the GMAT or the GRE.
Okay, great. Very, very good help. I also wanted to mention a program that we haven't discussed but is worth mentioning, and that is, and the only reason we haven't talked about it is that it's simply less popular than the other programs we're talking about tonight. But Willamette also has a 3-2 and 4-2 program in forestry, a partnership with Duke University, whereby a student can earn both the bachelor's degree and the master's degree from the Professional School of Forestry and Environmental Studies at Duke University. So I didn't want the evening to go by without at least mentioning that. Professor Watkins, one of the things that interests students is the contact that you and your fellow engineering advisor might have with people at Columbia or at USC or at WashU and St. Louis, our three partner institutions. Are there opportunities for you to interact with the staff and faculty at those institutions?
Yeah, so we have contact, we have liaisons that we communicate with. So if there's a problem in your application, they just call us and we can usually clear things up. So we're in good, we keep open lines between us and the other institutions. Is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes when a school is 1 or 2 or 3,000 miles away, like those partner institutions are, prospective students wonder about how much contact we really are, how much contact we have with the appropriate staff and faculty at those partner institutions. Of the three partnerships we have in engineering, year in, year out, which one do you think is the most popular choice?
Recently, it's been Columbia has been the most popular one. And another thing to add to, not only do we talk to the faculty at those institutions, but typically our students will come back and talk to us, and we'll get to hear about their experience as well. So we can tune our advice as to which program the student should bias towards. So we get a lot of information about what their experiences are. And generally, we get very good feedback that our students are very well prepared in these schools. I talked to someone who had gone to Columbia recently, and she said that the 3-2 students were actually among the top of all her classes, that they actually did better than the students who had gone there from the beginning. Part of that is because if you go directly into an engineering school, you're going to take very large intro-level classes, whereas at Willamette, you might take an intro class with 35 people.
And what do you think the most popular one or two majors are for the students who are doing the joint engineering degrees?
It used to be mechanical engineering and electrical engineering and civil engineering were dominating, but nowadays engineering has become much more diverse in the types of engineering you can do. And so now we have people doing biomedical engineering, we have people doing computer engineering, we have, it's become really, we have one student now who's interested in doing financial engineering. So it's the types of engineering has diversified a lot, and we don't have as much clustering of students doing a certain type.
And would that impact the major that the student might choose at Willamette? For example, if somebody were interested in biomedical engineering, would they more likely be a biology major? Or if they were interested in industrial engineering, might they possibly major in economics. Would the type of engineering have some impact on the major they choose at Willamette?
Typically, the major, you can major in whatever you want as long as you can satisfy the requirements and take the prereq courses here. So it's sort of like pre-med, where you can, as long as you satisfy the requirements, the courses they want, you're fine. However, it turns out biomedical engineering in particular, I was very surprised to read the descriptions, and actually you need very little biology to do biomedical engineering. It turns out that they, if you want the best match to the courses that they ask you to take, physics is still one of the better majors, just because you need that technical training in that.
Good. Well, thank you very much. Judy, when we think about the Atkinson School of Management, and I've seen the data, which is very encouraging, but maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the students you've known in recent years and some of the things they're doing after graduating with the MBA.
Sure, Jim. Thanks. I'd love to do that. Well, one of our most recent BA MBA students has actually started his own business. It's called the Happy Camper Bakery Company, and he makes gluten-free bread that is selling very well throughout Oregon. And he started his business while he was a student with us. Another one has risen very quickly through the ranks of Avanade, which is a partnership consulting program, business, and it's a partnership between Microsoft and Amazon. So those two are right on the top of my mind. Another one is in a nonprofit, is working for the National Society of Hispanic MBAs. And we have others in government positions, for instance, the Secretary of State or the Oregon Office of Administration. So students take a variety of positions in a variety of companies, big, small, little, famous, not famous, Nike's, Intel, and then smaller nonprofit and government organizations as well.
And your comment is a reminder that even though it is an MBA, Master of Business Administration, it in fact prepares folks for all sorts of management careers in the public sector and in the not-for-profit sector as well. Yeah, that's...
Yes, in fact, it's one of only two MBA programs in the United States, or actually in the world, that is dually accredited for business and for government and nonprofit.
Good. And Heather, maybe you could talk a little bit about what happens with the people who prepare to be teachers at Willamette. Do they teach in Oregon? Do they teach elsewhere? Tell us a little bit about some of the students you've known in recent years and what's happened to them after they graduated.
Sure, definitely. So the teachers that are coming out of the Graduate School of Education, what's so great about their preparation is that the master's program teaches them how to teach. So they come into the program having majored in any area that they really want to. If someone's interested in becoming a middle school or a high school teacher, then chances are they'll probably teach in the area that they majored in. But if someone wants to teach elementary or early childhood, then really there's a lot of flexibility with majors coming in. So this program focuses on teaching them how to teach. Most of our students come from the West Coast, a lot of graduates of Willamette, and a lot of them stay here in the area, but we have teachers going all over the country, in fact, all over the world for teaching positions. We're seeing over the next 5 to 7 years, quite a few number of retired teachers coming through. So we are going to be seeing lots more openings of teaching positions throughout the country. One of the things that we do is really encourage our teachers to get authorized in multiple subject areas and multiple authorization levels, so it really makes them marketable for teaching positions afterwards. As I mentioned early on, getting licensed in Oregon sets students up really well to be licensed in other states across the country. Oregon has very high standards for teacher ed programs, so our reciprocity with other states is really high. I think it's all but two other states in the country where students can vary very easily transfer their teaching license to that state. And we have a new program that is coupled with our sister school, Tokyo International University of America, a new program for people who are interested in teaching in Japan when they graduate. It's a program set up specifically for Willamette MET graduates to spend 2 years teaching English in Japan at Tokyo International University right out of graduation. So we have students, teachers teaching across the state of Oregon, the Northwest country, even across the world.
That's great, and it's a reminder, I think, of what an international place Willamette is. International professors, international students, study abroad, international curriculum. And I think at the Atkinson School, Judy, aren't about a third of your students maybe international students, something like that?
Yes, we are about a third of our students, and we come from 28 countries and 22 states.
Right. That's great. That's great. Brian, you know, everybody thinks they have an idea of what a lawyer does. And one of the things we know is if somebody goes to medical school, for example, there's a pretty good chance they're going to practice medicine. But one of the things we know about great legal education is that they may end up doing something else. They may very well end up practicing law, as you did, but they may also end up doing something else. And I think of one Willamette law graduate that I know, for example, who spent the bulk of his career as a college president and thought that he was extremely well prepared to do that. Are there other examples you can think of recently where people have chosen something that might be less obvious to a prospective law student?
Yeah, I can think of a couple. Although the first two that come to mind are very obvious. We've got a Willamette Law grad, now the governor of the state of Washington, Jay Inslee,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we've got a Willamette Law grad who is the senior senator for the state of Alaska, Lisa Murkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty
mm-hmm.
obvious places
mm-hmm.
for lawyers to go. But we've also had our graduates pretty much fan out over the country and internationally as well. One graduate of Willamette's Law School that I was just recently in contact with, because she is involved in human trafficking issues in Africa, she's been to Central Africa on a number of occasions working with private and public interest law firms, but also working with government agencies trying to rectify that issue from Central Africa as it relates to how a lot of those Central Africans end up finding their way against their will into other countries, especially in the United States. So she's on the ground working diligently trying to see what she can do about correcting that issue, using her Willamette Law degree as a way to get involved with that. We've had students that have worked with the United Nations. We've had students who have worked with legislators and with policymakers. We've had students who have gone into business, and we haven't talked about our joint JD MBA yet, but a number of our students will come to the law school so that they can get a legal education so that they can then go back and support their interest in business, so that they can, in fact, be in-house counsel for their own businesses. So there really is an unlimited number of places that lawyers can go and law students can go after graduation. It just depends on what they came into law school to do and also what they found along the way.
Good, good, good. That's helpful. I'm going to come back to you in just a minute, Brian, but we've got another caller who has a question. So I'm going to go to her now, and I think it is a parent who's calling from California. And go ahead with your question. Are you there?
Yes, sorry. Do you
we may have lost. Oh, you are there.
Hi. Yes, my daughter's going to be starting in the fall.
Thanks for calling. Uh-huh. Yep, and go ahead.
And
we're glad
question,
you called in. Go ahead.
My question is about the physical therapy track.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and we are glad to talk about that. And I think I might be the one that could probably talk about that. But Professor Watkins, as a science professor, might wave his hand and join in that conversation as well. But as you probably know, the way a student prepares for virtually all of the medical professions these days is relatively standard. So if somebody is thinking about being a physician, being a dentist, being a physical therapist, being a pharmacist, being an optometrist, being a physician's assistant, so many of those things, the preparation is increasingly similar. And if we take PT as an option, students used to frequently enter PT programs before they had finished their first degree, and that is much less often the case these days. So what typically happens is a student who wants a career in physical therapy here connects with our pre-medically related advising team, takes the courses that are necessary to prepare for admission to a PT program. As you may know, the only PT program in the state of Oregon is at Pacific University in Forest Grove. The only one in the state of Washington, I believe, is at the University of Puget Sound. And so those are popular options for our students. So the most common thing is to finish their degree here, get the proper advising, take the proper courses. Biology is a common major, but certainly not a mandatory one. And then go on and do the what is now called the Doctor of Physical Therapy degree, which has become the standard PT degree, and a bit different than it used to be. And I think another parent asked a question here about when do students have to arrive on campus, and that's certainly a good question and not one I have the data off the top of my head. But if you go to our admitted student website, it'll tell you exactly when you need to be here. A few minutes ago, Brian mentioned the joint law MBA program, and that is one we haven't touched on. And it might be good for Brian to take just a minute to tell our audience about that as well.
Sure. The joint JD MBA is also an accelerated program, but it requires completion of the bachelor's degree first and then admission to both the law school and the Atkinson Graduate School of Management. Each school needs to be admitted to separately and independently of the other. And what happens with the JD MBA is that a student would come into one of the programs, their choice, for the first year and be exclusively in that school for the first year. And then in the second year, they would come to the other school and be in that school exclusively for the second year. And then in the third and fourth year, they would be mixing, it would be about two-thirds law, one-third business. And after 4 years instead of five, that would normally be the case if you were to get both professional degrees independently, you'll have both professional degrees. So it's a way for you to be able mm-hmm. to get two professional degrees in less time than it would take to get each one independently.
Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. Yeah, I think that was something we overlooked in our earlier conversation, so I appreciate you mentioning it. Our next caller is an admitted student who's calling from Nevada City, California. And you've got a question. Please go ahead and ask our panel your question.
Hi. I was wondering if you are doing a combined program like the 3-3 law program, do you have to declare your major at Willamette sooner than a normal student would?
Good question, and one we're glad to answer for you. And any number of people here could answer that. I'll see if anybody in particular raises their hand. Brian, I want to have Brian might comment on it right now relative to law, and then we might have Professor Watkins comment on it relative to engineering as well. So, Brian, would you go ahead, please?
It helps if you have an idea about what you want to major in before you get started with the program, but you have that first year in which you'll be taking your MOIs or methods of instruction, which is our general education requirements. And in that time, if you were to think about wanting to do the 3+3 in law, you'd be working with me in the law school, and then you'd be working with Professor Don Negri in the CLA, or the College of Liberal Arts. He is the faculty member who is assigned to work exclusively with those students who have identified an interest in the 3+3 program. And you would also have a faculty advisor that you were assigned, and you'd also have the opportunity to be mentored by someone in your major. There isn't a need, a requirement to declare a major initially or immediately. You've got some time to think about that. But the sooner that you think about that, the sooner that you choose, the better, because the second and third year, you're going to be pretty much exclusively in that major. And if you choose a particular major and then change your mind later, you may very likely have eliminated the option or the possibility of doing this as an accelerated program.
Good, good, good. Professor Watkins, might you?
If you're interested in 3-2 engineering, it's not so important to declare a major rapidly, but it is important that you get started on your pre-engineering requirements. So you'll definitely want to be taking, you know, maybe intro physics your first year. You definitely want to get going in math and keep going on that. And then you don't need to declare your major very early, but you definitely need to get started on those pre-engineering requirements. And it would be a good idea to talk to, say, me about the 3-2 advising to just set up your schedule, because 3 years isn't very long, and there are a lot of requirements that you need to fill.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, and I do want to remind, I'm sitting here at the monitoring screen, so I know that there are still lots of admitted students who are listening to us, and we're glad for that. So I want to remind you of two things. One is, if you have a question, just push zero on your phone and ask that question, and we're glad to take it. And then the second thing I wanted to mention, especially now that we are well into the second half of our hour, is if you have general questions about enrollment at Willamette, we love it when you ask the questions about the joint and professional degree programs. But if you have other questions about general enrollment-related questions, don't hesitate to ask those as well. Yeah, I think Professor Watkins makes a very good point. After you have made your commitment to enroll at Willamette by paying your deposit, one of the things you'll receive in the summer is a list of the first-year colloquium classes, the course that is required of all new students in the undergraduate college. And by choosing that course, you're also choosing your initial advisor. And so that person will have you in class and will be your academic advisor at the front end of your Willamette education. But I think right at that very beginning, probably during new student orientation, it would be very good for you also, if we think of engineering as an example, to talk to Professor Watkins or the other pre-engineering advisor and get some advice there as well, so you can both keep your options open and prepare yourself for the joint engineering degrees, if that's what you think you want to do. As we zero in on May 1st, I would say that there's a couple of questions that we've been hearing a lot of in the last few days, and I might just address those because they may be questions that you have. One is that it is important for us to receive your $500 advance deposit by May 1, and that is the amount of money that will both hold your spot in the entering class, but it is also an amount of money that guarantees that you'll have housing on campus this fall. So in that sense, it doubles as a housing deposit. There is no separate housing deposit. And it is also the thing that triggers all of our communication with you between now and when you arrive on campus in August. I'm glad to see that we have Pierre, one of our faithful participants these last few weeks, Pierre in Montana. The first night that Pierre called, I lamely said, "It's Pierre from Montana, not calling from Paris, but calling from Montana." Pierre, we're glad to hear from you again, and go ahead and ask your question.
For the record, I think it was a pretty funny joke, Jim.
Good. I'm glad you tolerant of me.
I kind of have a two-prong question, but one prong is a little bit smaller than the other one. I was wondering preparation was given for, like, international studies majors who are looking to pursue a career in the State Department, looking into diplomacy, becoming a foreign service officer. And the other one was how to say, even if I'm going to put down my deposit, I need to know how to say non nobis solum nati summis, our motto.
Well, I mean, most of us are not fluent in Latin. And so not unto ourselves alone are we born is a perfectly good English translation. But here's what I can promise you is Professor Thorsett, who's not with us tonight, but he's become very, very skilled at pronouncing that in Latin. So don't hesitate to either call him or on your first day of campus, look him up, and he will personally instruct you in how to say our motto in Latin. And then you can rely on me to translate it to English, but we'll count on him to teach it to you. You could also go to one of the Latin professors. I bet they can say it beautifully as well. In terms of careers in diplomacy, that certainly has been something that the Willamette's had a strong thread for decades. And as you may know, there's well-respected and very rigorous exam that the State Department requires for students to take. And they allow students to take that exam regardless of their major. You know, most of those students are students majoring in government or politics or political science or international studies, international relations, something like that. You know, I think the one of the advantages of a Willamette education is that like a lot of good colleges, we have a partnership with American University in Washington, D.C., where you can spend a semester studying there. And an important part of that is internships. And what that can really do is help you understand if that's something that you really want to do. But and we certainly have professors, particularly in the politics department, who know a lot about this. So, you know, my advice would be that regardless of who your advisor ends up being this fall, is that you ask around and seek out one of those probably politics professors who has good knowledge and good experience on preparing students for careers in diplomacy. We can also connect you with some fabulous Willamette graduates who are diplomats, and they can explain their course of career preparation as well. We've got another question that has come in. We have a mother who's calling from Lincoln, California. Lincoln, a place I know well. And so we're glad to have you calling in, and go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Don. Thanks. We've really been enjoying all of these Monday night seminars. We were there visiting on Monday, and we're really impressed with the campus, its beauty, the staff, the students. But we also visited several UC schools here in California, and they're very large. And our question is, do you get any input from students about the small size of Willamette compared to a large school? Do the students feel like they're constantly challenged and stimulated because of the influence of the multiple students they would meet at a large school versus a small school that would be almost the same size as a high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good question, and lots of students do wonder about that, and it's something I've thought a lot about because I came from a high school. I should say I didn't go to Willamette, but I went from my high school, which had more than 3,000 students, to a university that had less than 1,500 students, and I'd say the key is having a sort of properly constructed student body. That is to say, a student body that is from around the world, a student body that has people representing all sorts of ideas as well as all sorts of ethnicities and socioeconomic backgrounds and religious backgrounds and that sort of thing. Because for me, that took a lot of the smallness out of the conversation, because my high school, like most high schools, was pretty homogeneous. Now, with your child coming from Lincoln, California, they may be luckier than I was, and they may be in a more interesting and diverse student environment than I was when I was in high school. But, you know, I'd say when I compare the great big places with the great smaller places, the big difference that I see is sort of size and access versus choice. So if you look at the University of Washington with 35,000 students, they have more courses, more people, more facilities. What they don't necessarily have is better access. And so what you have at Willamette are fewer choices, but much better access. So if there's a particular activity you want to pursue, if there's a particular course you want to take, if there's a particular lecture you want to hear, you're going to have that opportunity. I was interviewed this school year by a reporter for the school newspaper, and she's a first-year student. And I said, so were you the editor of your high school newspaper? And she said, I did a lot of interesting and modestly, she said, important things in high school. I always wanted to work on the newspaper. I never had a chance to do that. And at Willamette, you know, the school newspaper has some students with great high school journalism experience, but has tons of students like her that are introducing themselves to an altogether new activity. So I think that access, and the key, of course, and what Willamette tries to do is to be big enough at 2,000 undergraduate students to give you good choices and at the same time maintain that access that we've traditionally been well known for. I was trying to think of a couple other questions that we've heard a lot of in the last few days, and one of them had to do with the deposit, and the other one has had to do with financial aid and scholarships. And just to address that issue head on, if you go to our website, there is a form on the financial aid page where a student can request a review of their financial aid or scholarship. We're at that time in the cycle where that cannot be done now before May 1. And so if you're one of those students who has been admitted and has determined that Willamette is your first choice, but you're not sure that Willamette is affordable for you, you can certainly submit that financial aid review request form. But the important thing for you to keep in mind is that May 1 deadline. Now, if you submitted that form to Willamette and a week from now we increased your financial aid and you were able to choose Willamette, we would still accept your deposit. What worries me, though, is that you need to make sure you have another very good option, because we don't want you to submit that form to Willamette and a week or two from now we get back to you and say, we're sorry, all of our financial aid and scholarship funds are gone, and for you not to have a good choice. So weigh that in mind. Some colleges are glad to say to you, we'll give you another week or two to pay your deposits. Others will not. And I simply, this was a question I was talking to a student about late this afternoon, and Willamette had emerged as her first choice, but she also has been admitted to Smith College in Massachusetts and to Denison University in Ohio, and she wanted to talk about that, the precise nature of that process. So our hour is winding down. We've gotten to all of the questions that people have asked. I'm going to look around at the panel and see if anybody wants to add anything, and I don't see anybody. Oh, Professor Watkins is going to add, and then as soon as he gets done, I'll make a few final comments, and we'll wrap it up. Professor Watkins.
I was just going to add, when Jim was talking about access, that access to professors is also really different at a small place versus a big place, just if you're trying to make that decision. Our classes, you know, if you go to a University of California type of school, you know, your introductory classes might be several hundred students. You might be one among those several hundred just sitting in a giant room watching the professor from a distance. But at Willamette, your intro classes might have, you know, at most 30 or 36 students. And so you've got much more of the professor's attention in terms of getting to know the professor, getting to know your other students in the class, feeling much more connected to what's going on around you.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That is, you know, the single biggest advantage of places like Willamette is the opportunity to be mentored by these especially smart, especially well-educated people who've chosen to be at places like Willamette, knowing they will advise students, knowing they will have office hours, knowing they will teach classes, knowing that there are days when they will have a lunch or a cup of coffee with students, and that is an enormous advantage. And it plays out in a lot of ways. It plays out in joint projects that professors and students do together, but it also plays out towards graduation when the professor's writing a letter of recommendation. He's writing that letter for somebody that he knows well and somebody that he or she has gotten to know over the course of their time at Willamette. So I think that's a really strong note on which to close. We very much appreciate you joining us tonight. And again, congratulations on your admission to Willamette. If questions do come up in these next 48 hours before you have to make your decision, don't hesitate to email or telephone the Office of Admission, and we'll be glad to answer those questions. But we are very glad you joined us tonight. I thank our panelists for participating, and we hope we'll have a chance to welcome you personally here at Willamette for the new semester in August. Thanks very much, and we will sign off now.